What does it mean to truly give thanks? We'll find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to reflect together on the things that God has done in your life. In our time together today, we're going to hear from some of the members of Change by Grace Community Church as they give thanks to God. Well, with your Bibles ready and with your heart filled with thanksgiving, let's listen as we join together today.
I tend to gain more and more respect for, like, Chip and Steve every time I have to do something like this. Because, just to be honest, I'm extremely nervous. For those of you who don't know who I am, I write things down. Forgive me if I don't make too much eye contact. But for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Chan Sornberger. I've been a member at Changed by Grace since the first new members class that we had here. Though my involvement with this church and the believers in it stems all the way back to when I started going to Celebration Baptist, where I was discipled by Reed and Bruce and Matt and Daryl and Chip, along with many other names and people that I see here today. I was asked by Chip to stand before you tonight to state what I am thankful for. And I've decided, due to what the Lord's been doing in my life lately, to focus on what I'm thankful for right here. Not necessarily these four walls, but these people. I like to refer to this place as God's barracks, His chosen men. And I'd like to thank Him for my role here. I thank Jesus for His sovereign plan in bringing me here. And I've prepared a little brief overview to show you what God's been doing in that. I came to know Christ through my boss at my job in April, 2.5 years ago. And I started going to First Baptist with him downtown. After about 4 months there, I came into contact with Reed. I'd known Reed in high school. I wouldn't say we were friends. I'd say we were more acquaintances. We used to get in very heavy sin with one another, just with drugs and things like that. And I started going to church with Reed. I really connected with Reed at that time when I was going to First Baptist. I'm pretty sure it was God leading me out of there towards me, or towards this group of believers. I met Chip and Matt and Eddie and Daryl and Richard and Bruce, and many other people at Celebration Baptist. I saw Jesus in these men, and I stuck to Chip and Matt and Reed for the most part. Pretty much like white on rice. And I grew very tight with these men. I mean, you can ask Chip. I was over at his house every time he said yes. And I was there for a while until Christmas time or early January after started going. Chip had called me up and asked if I wanted to help him start a new church, just different events and things that had happened. This later came to be known as Higher Grounds Ministry. We started meeting in Jason Peacher's tattoo shop. Then due to lack of space, we moved to Scott's three-car garage. At his parents' permission, of course. I remember we had this big warehouse fan in the back, and he used to blow real loud. And Chip really didn't have a microphone at that point, so he kind of had to yell over the fan. I'm pretty sure that's where he gets his preaching style from. Then Chip and his family moved to the north side, and they met Steve. And after a season of prayer from both parties, everything kind of moved into merging churches, and we moved into a strip mall building. After attendance grew there, and we started praying for a building for our own that we could rent. This place right here is what God gave us. We've been here for over a year, and we're now trying to buy this building. Continue to be prayerful about that. Throughout this whole time, God has been shaping me into the image of His Son through these godly men by His Word and by using this church. Come to realize my desire is to serve here in this church until I go to be with the Lord. I know I'm called to be here to serve in this church. I see the rarity in this church, in the sound doctrine, in the biblical church government. We preach the whole gospel here. We disciple people here. Just the friendly rebukes when needed. The worship, of course, is ridiculous. And the list goes on as high as I can count. I always have trouble ending these things. Basically, just kind of end it out with, I've fallen in love with this church, and I'll do my best to be here when you need me.
Well, I've been told I only have 5 minutes, so I'll try and cut down on the long pauses in between my words. But Chip called me up probably about 4:30, quarter till 5, and said some people weren't going to be able to make it. So he asked me to just kind of come up here and tell you all what I was thankful for. And at first I kind of thought, well, it's kind of short notice, but just kind of realized how absurd that thought was, because it's not a hard thing to speak about. I'm thankful that God in eternity past chose me for nothing in myself. He just saw me as a wretched, helpless sinner and decided to save me. And I'm thankful that about 5.5 years ago that he looked into my dead, rotting, sinful, lustful, praise-loving, money-loving, power-loving soul and said, let there be light. And I'm thankful that my God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. To quote a Cademan's Call song, I'm thankful that I'm incapable of doing any good on my own. I'm thankful that the Lord withholds no good thing from them that walk uprightly. Thankful that all things are working together for my good. I'm thankful that the average lifespan of an American male is only 73 years. So, even if the Lord doesn't kill me in an extraordinary way, I'll only have to live another 48 years. I'm thankful that Yahweh is God and there is no other, and beside him there is no Savior. I'm thankful that the Lord will not allow me to be tempted above what I can bear, but with the temptation provide a way of escape so that I can bear up under it. Thankful that I don't have to work for my salvation because I would never make it. Thankful that I had no choice in the matter. I'm thankful that I didn't choose Jesus, but that Jesus chose me. And I'm thankful for this church. Thankful for a group of brothers who are not spiritually lazy, but seek to honor Christ in all they do. I'm thankful for it's a group of sisters who aren't all flakes and who love Jesus and prove it by their lives. And I'm thankful for godly leaders, because like Jesus says in Luke 6, I think it's 40 or 41, that a servant is not above his master, but when a servant is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. And I just know when I see a division at work, or anybody in the military knows when you see a squad or a division that just doesn't look sharp. Their uniforms are all wrinkled. They don't salute properly. And they just look like a bunch of dirt bags. That it's a reflection of the leadership. And when you go into churches and you see spiritually lazy men and flaky, gossiping women, that it's a reflection of the leadership. And so I'm just thankful that the Lord has me where He has me, and I'm just thankful for all of you.
I'm thankful that I mean, I grew up in church, and I'm thankful that, you know, I thought I was saved, but God showed me that I wasn't. And thankful that He showed me that I was chosen before the foundation of the world. That was something that I really didn't want to accept at all. And now I can't see the other side of it now, and I can't see how someone can say that God is not sovereign and everything. And I'm just thankful that I've come to grasp that, and I'm just thankful for the ladies in this church that that really scoop me along, I guess. I don't know, but they just keep me accountable.
I'm going to ask this brother and sister to... This is just unbelievable, the relationship I have with this couple. That is not why they were asked to share. It's just amazing at the sovereignty of God and how He works. And guys, you never know what God's doing with you. Probably 4 years ago, something like that, Michelle came up to me at a church, and I know you're probably going to share, but I'm not. Okay, right on. She came up to me at a church, and she had been attending flakily. And she used to be one of those women Ken said that he's unthankful for. But she can handle this, and that's why I'm saying it. She came to me and pointed in my face through a crowd and said, "You need to come over, and you're the one that's going to reach my husband. You can save my husband." In a sense, that's what she was saying. And I was like, so I thought, But I was like, I don't even know, you know, really didn't know who he was. So I went over to their house one night and met Travis, not knowing what the Lord was going to do, and just shared the gospel, shared it in its entirety, shared it in its truth, and hooked him up with a bunch of Christian music he probably never listened to. And in my pragmatic state of mind, I was trying to help God do His job. All right, Lord, I'm going to help you. Watch this. And I left, and Travis said, "I don't ever want that man in my house again." So guys, when you really share the gospel, and I don't care how gentle you do it or how your personality does it, when someone is told the truth and they're in sin, it's received the same way. Because truth is the blade that cuts through all the sin. And you can't go have surgery without there being pain involved. You can't have a tumor cut out and just because the tumor's out, think everything's going to be fine because there's recovery. So,
you need to finish that story.
Yeah, I'm in a restaurant with a couple people from this church.
3 years later.
3 years later. Sovereignty of God now. What if I'd have left and said, "He ain't getting saved. Forget it, Lord. Ain't no one listening." Like Jeremiah. What if I was called and no one ever gets saved in my ministry, but yet I was called to be faithful like Jeremiah and stick to the word? But I didn't. I left and said, "Well, he's just another one that's going to go to hell." That's what I told him. Well, 3 years later, I'm sitting in a restaurant with my wife and my brother-in-law and with Mark and Kristen, who were new believers. And then my brother-in-law, who was not saved, and this guy walks up to me with, I think, the same shirt on.
Same shirt.
He doesn't shower nor change his clothes. He not only has Christ in his heart, but he's got Christ on his shirt. So he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, man." And Eric, you could do his voice. I can't. And, "Hey, man, you remember me?" And he just, you know, I don't never know if I'm about to get a punch in the face or a stab in the jugular. And I'm like, maybe. And my wife is, you know, she's packing her junk up, hitting the road, because we know how she feels about all that. "I knew you were going to get killed!" No, I'm kidding. But It was funny because he didn't look at me. He said, "Do you remember me?" And then I said, and he started telling me how I knew him. And then he instantly looked at Mark and Shane and said, "Guys," it was like we disappeared. He said, "Let me tell you something." And it wasn't a glory to me, and I want you to get that, but it was the truth, and all glory to God and His gospel. He said, "This man came to my house, and I tried to tell him I was a Christian." He said, "And he told me I was going to hell because my lifestyle had no fruit and all this." And he looked at them, and he said, "He's right." And he said, "Chip, I want you to know I got saved a year ago. 3 years later, I gave my life to Jesus." And Michelle was out the door, son. She was boogie, and I thought, "Well, where's your wife?" And I stood right up, gave him a hug, and we prayed right there in the restaurant, man. It was packed. I said, "Well, dude, let's pray. Lord, we just come to you," and we were fired up, man. And to not think that planting the seed, you never know, man. Don't get discouraged. People will hate you. Paul said, "Do you now hate me because I tell you the truth?" It's not going to be hugs and kisses, guys, with everybody. Some will receive. Some will not get mad at you for telling them that they're lost. Showing them in the Word, letting the Word judge them based on the fruit that you see. But this guy got saved. And guess what, guys? He really got saved. And she left him because she said, "I didn't want you saved like that." So now, God, she thought I was the guy going to get him saved. Well, if you want me to lead him to the Lord, he's going to get discipled and be like me. Because I am like Christ, and that's what we're to do. Well, he became that. Radical. And she booked. Well, a year later, or however long?
6 months.
6 months. She came to my house, and we sat there, and I said, "Michelle, the very person that you came to get to lead your husband to the Lord is pointing at you." And she gave her life to the Lord. And we have seen nothing but fruit. And no glory to her because she's a babe in Christ. And lest she be a new convert and be puffed up with pride. But guys, I'm trying to encourage you. You may share with a guy at work. I got a buddy, 5 years of witness, and he just got saved. He was Catholic. "Well, I thought they were Christians." "Well, then how did he get saved? Why did he get saved? If he had it, why did he accept my Jesus?" "Because I showed him in the Word that the Jesus he thought he was serving was not the God of the Bible. And he saw his sin." 5 years, man. 5 years and he got saved. And has been coming to some of our Bible studies. Don't give up, man. You're just told to go and sow. God takes care of the soil. He gave us the seed. And we throw it. And I just wanted to bring you up to par. And that is, we've seen God do something miraculous. And it's awesome. So I'll shut up now. There's y'all's microphones because this one stinks.
Basically, he told you the whole story. I just want to thank everyone here. Just the support that I got when I come in here, because I was one of those weak people and shallow teaching. And I've done nothing but grow here. And I just praise God for that, for the support, the believers here. The discipleship, I mean, it's awesome. And I just praise God for that. And I just thank God for my wife. I mean, the things that I went through, the persecution at work, everybody messing with me about it, and it was pretty hard, but just the believers here helped me along through it. We prayed, just the time in the Word, the fellowship. I think the ladies, Michelle and Jamie, and there's all of you that prayed about this whole situation, because I know you guys were faithful, and I just thank you. Thank you for that. Praise, all praise to King Jesus. That's all I got to say.
The first thing I want to say is thank you to a congregation who did not know me, but saw Travis and saw that he was faithful and saw that he loved the Lord and prayed for me, because, I mean, it was y'all's prayer that brought me to where I was, because I was raised in the church, you know, went all the time, but saw that, you know, you could go to church on Sunday, but you could do what you wanted to during the week, and it was okay, and you'd still go to heaven. And that's what, you know, my family still believes, is that you can do that. And I just, I praise God that, you know, Chip was, that we brought Chip into our lives the way, or that God did the way that he did, because, you know, as he told you that story, I mean, he planted a seed. And, you know, I went to him saying, you know, if anybody can reach my husband, you can. And then he's the one that, I mean, with the help of everybody else, but he's the one that was looking at me going, you know, all I can do is hit you upside the head with this Bible, is what he said to me in his house. You know, he's like, you know everything else. You've seen what God can do. You know, hello, count the cost. And I was like, what is he talking about, count the cost? And then, you know, he was like, you don't understand. You're going to lose your friends. He's like, you're going to lose your family. And I was like, okay. Because kind of to back up, I left Travis because he was so severe in everything. And he kept throwing the Bible at me. And I was like, whatever. Because I thought I was saved, but what I found is that I was uncomfortable in my own home, and he was making me uncomfortable with the Word, and it's because I wasn't saved. And so I got out, and I started to do things my way. So I went and I moved in with my mom and dad, and that was real uncomfortable. So I went and got my own apartment. Then I can definitely do what I want to do, and I'm going to be happy because it's my place, and I've never had my own home, and it's going to be, you know, great and wonderful. Far from it. I was trying to make Michelle feel good. I was trying to make Michelle happy. And over the 6 months that Travis and I were separated, I mean, he would, you know, send me cards with, like, Bible verses on them. Like, he didn't sign them. He just would put, like... And I would... And you don't understand. I mean, I was like, he is so psycho. What is he doing? He is so weird. And, you know, and I'm the devil. I mean, he would say stuff, or I'd say something to him, and he'd go, Michelle, you know that's the devil. And I was like, well, then I guess I'm the devil. I mean, and it was a big joke, and he would send flowers to school where I worked. And, like, the lady that worked in the front office would call down there and go, hey, psycho just brought you something. I mean, it was so lost. And I was just so out of sorts, and I thought, I'm safe. He's just crazy. Well, come to find out, you know, I wasn't saved. And I just started to become more and more unhappy. I was more and more miserable. I mean, I went out, swore I would never drink because my mom was an alcoholic and beat me forever. So I would never drink. I went out and started drinking, having a good time, doing drugs, you know, trying to find relationship after relationship with just different people to make me feel good. You know, I'm gonna find love. All I wanted was love. All I wanted was acceptance, and I tried to do it myself. And the Lord started to soften me, and really with Dylan, you know, going to his daddy's and going to church and coming home and telling me about all these people like Raquel. I know Raquel, he would come home and talk about her. And I was like, I don't want to hear about these people. Go play. Go watch TV. And it's just because I didn't want to hear it. And the Lord started to soften my heart. And honestly, Chip told me I only have 8 minutes, so I'm going to hurry fast. Travis called me and he goes, what is going on? And I said, oh, well, it's 6:15 in the morning. I'm a high school teacher, so I'm running out the door. And I'm like, what do you mean what's going on? And I, everything's going on good. I was miserable. Miserable. I had been, you know, just absolutely miserable. But I wasn't going to tell him that. Everything was fine. And he goes, no, I mean, really, what's going on? He was like, if this is going to be done, it needs to be done. I need to move on with my life. And I was like, whoa, that's not what I want. Because I saw something in him. And I saw that I wanted love and I wanted acceptance and I wanted somebody just to be there for me. And he was already there. And I had pushed him off. And it was, you know, an entire ride to school. I worked at Lee High School, so I'm driving to school and I'm in tears talking to him. And he's like, well, do you love me? And I'm like, oh. You know, I mean, any other time I could have said no. Of course not. This is the first time that I was like, I just don't know. And that was my answer. I just don't know. I didn't know. And it's because God was working on me, and he was breaking me, and he was humbling me. And we started to kind of work through things, and a week went on, and I showed up in church on Sunday with many excuses on why I wasn't going to go. You know, I woke up that morning, I really don't feel good. I called Travis, I'm not going to come, I'm sick. And I said, you know, I cannot keep doing this. I've done it my whole life. I didn't feel like going to school or to church, so I was sick. So, you know, it was my excuse. And I said, you know, I'm not going to do that this time. And so a friend of mine came with me, and we showed up, and Steve preached on the sin of pride, and he said, and I'm, you know, pride is one of those people, you know, you're one of those people that walks around like, I don't need God. You know, I don't need God. And I was the complete opposite. I was like, God, I've done so many things against you that I don't deserve you. And that's when Steve told a story about roller skating and about how he was so prideful because he was going to be a good roller skating. And then he fell. And then he said he fell and he like tried to get up real fast because he was like ashamed, you know, that he had thought he was all big and bad and he fell. And I was like, that's me. You know, here I am. It's not that I'm too prideful. I was too shameful to think that God could forgive me for everything that I had done. And over my life, yes, but over that 6 months, I mean, I really went all out as far as out. I mean, so it was God just really, you know, showed me that he humbled me that day. And I mean, and I just prayed that, you know, that he would take the hurt from me and that he would heal me and make me, you know, whole again. And then it was some more Chip and Travis both. And, you know, we went to Chip's and I just surrendered and I said, Lord, take it from me. You know, and he did. And I was just like, just show me what it is that I need to do and I will do it. I don't care. Amen. And the next Sunday I had this on my ear because Chip had said it when we were at his house, you know, you might get up and, you know, just decide to quit your job and stay home and raise a family. And I was like, whatever, but I teach school and my kids need me. And Travis was like, well, I'm not saying go quit your job. And on Sunday, sitting in church, I just was praying. And it was just like I had this overwhelming feeling that I needed to stop teaching and stay home and raise my family. And I quit my job. I didn't go back. I haven't been back to that school except for to turn in my laptop.
Praise God. You've been listening to a special Thanksgiving service at Change by Grace Community Church. To obtain a copy of this message, call us today at 904-651-3351. Or you can visit us online at www.changebygrace.org. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church. For more information about our church and services, call us at 904-651-3351. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today. I hope that you'll join us again next week as we listen again to a special Thanksgiving service at Change by Grace Community Church.